Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, he will. Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swings. On the way.
Welcome to Georgia Southern Extra. I'm your co-host, Nathan Domin. With me is my co-host, our co-host, McLean Baxley. McLean, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Great. Well, we're recording the Georgia Southern podcast on Tuesday night, and we're looking forward to Georgia Southern hosting South Alabama on Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. at Paulson Stadium, shown on ESPN. We'll get to that game in a few minutes, but let's talk about Georgia Southern football up to this point, with the most recent game being the loss at Coastal Carolina in Conway, South Carolina on Saturday. And McLean, we'll do first down. What's your first take on that game?
First take was that that offense just not showing up in the second half. You know, they're going to the locker room with the number, you know, top 25 Coastal Carolina on the road, tied a piece at 14. And then second half, Georgia Southern just comes out and just doesn't score at all. They only had one touchdown in the first half. You know, the second touchdown was a kick return or a punt return from Wesley Kennedy, and then the other touchdowns with a score. So just not finding the end zone, not producing on offense was just kind of disappointing to see in a game that they had a right to be in. They looked really good in the first half, and the defense was holding up, and then second half, just the offense just couldn't produce.
Yeah, for people who didn't see the game, the final score was Coastal Carolina, which was ranked 25th in the country. They won the game 28-14, but 14 about 8 minutes into the second or into the fourth quarter. And you've got basically the game's up for grabs. And the first strike was by Coastal Carolina, and Georgia Southern did not match it. They did not put a drive together. They went three and out. They didn't capitalize on any on some of the plays that were there, and Coastal Carolina hit him with a 1-2 punch of a second touchdown, and the last few minutes was just desperation time. Georgia Southern had to pass, and Coastal Carolina knew that and just kind of teed off, and it was kind of a slop in a pretty tight contest. And you mentioned Wesley Kennedy, the third 60-yard punt return in the first quarter that tied the game at 7, I believe, and it seemed like Georgia Southern was going to match him blow for blow, but what did you see Coastal Carolina doing? Coach Chad Lunsford for Georgia Southern said that they just had the intensity, this energy from the start, and he didn't see that out of all of his players. Did you gather that as well?
Yeah, I think that intensity was not there, you know, for the guys wearing all white from Southern. And in the same realm, you know, it just seemed like they were putting too much emphasis on every play. They knew that, you know, they were coming into another road game, a road conference game, and a road conference game against a ranked team. You know, so I think they were kind of overthinking every pass, every rush, every tackle, every kickoff, every field goal. You know, everything was just – they were overthinking it, and maybe that's what, you know, led them to lose the game in almost every aspect of the game. You know, they lost the time possession, which Georgia Southern prides itself coming in. They were number one in the country. They only, you know, held the ball for 27 minutes right against Coastal. They were two of 12 on third down. Yeah, I mean, two of 12. And they, you know, had 218 total yards of offense, and just not, you know, other than that, you know, that one scoring drive there right before halftime. They just had nothing to base off of. And this is coming after, you know, a week before where they won 41-0 against a UMass team. It was the first game of the season, and UMass is nowhere even close to where Coastal Carolina is. But even against other teams, you know, they've been able to run in for it. They've had a 100-yard rusher in all four games going up to this point. So the fact that they couldn't even get a 100, they finished with 119 total rushing yards, net yards, and in the four games previous, they were having at least one 100-yard rusher. So I don't know where you fix that, you know, and they've only got 4 days to fix it, but that's my big takeaway, is just the lack of offense on that weird teal turf on Saturday.
Yeah, it was the teal being one of the team colors, but it was also hot that day. It was a noon kickoff, and they said they didn't want to use that excuse. Obviously, both teams are playing in that. Both teams are Southern or Southeastern United States teams. They're used to practicing and playing, but that was maybe a little warmer. Shywertz, the starting quarterback for the Georgia Southern, 4-year starter, he had to get IV in the third quarter and missed a series or two. He told me after the game that he was feeling kind of not himself during halftime, but there wasn't time to get an IV put in, and he tried to give it a go in the third quarter, and it just wasn't happening. So he had to go. You know, to his credit, he came back, but he said he didn't want to use an excuse, but if his legs aren't, you know, they're full, they're normal, you know, he's a very fast runner, very quick runner. And if he's not himself, he's not close to 100%. He's not turning the corner the same way. He's not maybe getting his legs under him to throw the ball. The passes were a little off. Maybe there's part of that's the route running. Maybe part of that said he was under a lot more pressure than he's faced in other games. I think my second take would be that maybe the UMass game kind of threw people off for competition Georgia Southern faces when they are in the Sun Belt and when they are facing a team like Coastal Carolina, which, you know, we don't normally say that, but Coastal Carolina is nationally ranked for a reason, and they didn't come into the season with a lot of expectations, but they're 5-0, and they've beaten not only beaten everybody in front of them, but look good doing it. And the fact that the UMass game, I think, gave people, might have given people a false sense of exactly how well the offense was doing. I mean, it did what it was supposed to do against UMass and dominated, but it hadn't been exactly where they wanted to be up to that point. And the defense as well had not been great until the UMass game. The Louisiana game, if we want to go back a little bit to September 26th, the Louisiana game, Georgia's a ranked team, number 19, playing on the road. This sounds familiar. Georgia Southern played with or maybe outplayed Louisiana that game and felt like they should have won that game. And I think they were hoping for the same kind of energy and intensity that you mentioned when you go to play a ranked team in Coastal Carolina. And they had a full week to prepare, and it just didn't happen. And Coastal Carolina obviously should get credit for the scheme they had on defense against Georgia Southern's option attack. You know, you look at a runner like J.D. King, who's going to get tough yards no matter who the defense is, but he wasn't able to have a big day. And then they kind of spread it around, and nobody had a big day. So credit the Coastal Carolina defense, but Georgia Southern, to your first point, Georgia Southern had to make something happen on offense. And this brings up a point that Chad Lunsford, I'll give him a third take on this. Chad Lunsford said the offense has to help the defense. You can't leave the defense out there, whether it's a hot day or not. If the defense is out there a long time, and that gets to your time of possession, which was, I think they had 27 minutes, 32 minutes. So the Georgia Southern defense was out there a lot longer than they wanted to be or should have been. Because there should have been a couple more Georgia Southern methodical long drives, at least you would hope so. Didn't happen. Coastal Carolina made the plays when they had to. One of the only highlights, if you will, was Wesley Kennedy's punt return, which was a SportsCenter best of kind of highlight, and it was all over the internet to Wesley's credit. So anyway, did anything else jump out about you, about that game to you, McLean, the Coastal Carolina 28-14 victory over Georgia Southern last Saturday?
I mean, I think Coastal Carolina getting the respect they deserve. You know, they're ranked, they keep moving up. A couple of writers have started, you know, putting them in that conversation for the New Year's Six Bowl game that, you know, goes to the top group of five team, which for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years has been given to, you know, the winner of the American Conference, whether that's UCF or Memphis or this year Cincinnati, it's looking like, or Boise State in years past. But, you know, Coastal Carolina at, you know, 5-0 with you know, Power Five win, and so far 3-0 in conference. I mean, they are looking like the team that they want to look like. They've already beaten Louisiana, who I think is the second best looking team. They still have to play Appalachian State down the road. But as of right now, you know, as of, you know, this week, I mean, they are looking like the best team, you know, the Sun Belt, and frankly, the best team on Georgia Southern's schedule. So, I mean, the fact that we said earlier that they were able to hold their own that first half, and really through three quarters, the defense looked really good, you know, with Rashad Byrd, Renard Ellis, and, you know, the secondary also has been stepping up each week. I know it was they're facing their backup quarterback and Coastal's backup quarterback, but the secondary has really stepped up the past few weeks. And so the defense has held their end of the bargain. Now it's just getting that, you know, that offense in sync, and this offense that preseason, that was, you know, the offense that we were hoping to see was going to be the offense that we saw against UMass, and, you know, averaging, you know, 300 plus yards a game with ease, you know, Wirtz throwing it, passing it, JD King, Wesley Kennedy, Logan Wright, all picking up yards. And so we haven't seen that really outside of that UMass game where everybody's in sync. But if they can get that together, I mean, they there's potential there. But as of right now, I mean, Coastal is head and shoulders above the rest of the Sun Belt.
Right, right. And you mentioned, and that was going to be one of my other takes. So you have Coastal Carolina favored for the first time in their season against Georgia Southern. They're the ranked team. They're the home team. And then we find out before the game that their star quarterback, a redshirt freshman named Grayson McCall, statistically one of the best quarterbacks in the country, can't go. He can't play because of an upper body injury that he suffered in the win over Louisiana. And they were hoping that it was a game time decision. They were hoping him to go. He was going to go. And once word got out that the star quarterback for Coastal Carolina wasn't going to play, the gambling odds went to, I guess, to one or pick 'em. But the point is, Georgia Southern had to take advantage of that situation. You have a backup quarterback, but he's not your average backup. He Fred Payton was contending to be the starting quarterback throughout the summer, especially when Grayson McCall had to sit out for contact tracing related to COVID. And Fred Payton had started 10 games in his career. He's a junior. He's not some freshman or something. So he had the wherewithal to step in and step up, but he didn't like to, you know, set the game on fire. It wasn't some sort of Hollywood movie kind of outing. He had a solid game. He did throw a couple of interceptions, like you mentioned. Coastal Carolina, like that, likes to run the ball, especially 2 rushing yards in the first half. That's total. That's supposed to be a good indicator that the other team's having its way. But all it meant was that it was a tie game. So the only thing that jumps out at about that game is that Georgia Southern had to punt the ball a lot, 8 times. And fortunately, they have an excellent punter in Anthony Beck. And he had, I think he had 4 punts of the 8 within the 20. So he put them in good position. Unfortunately, the last punt, if not the last punt, but close to it, was a big return for Coastal Carolina that set up the final touchdown of the game. And I think that 2-touchdown difference is really what put the pressure on Georgia Southern to throw the ball, to try to score quickly. Obviously, you needed 2 scores. And that kind of dictated how that game finished. If people had hopes that Georgia Southern's offense was suddenly going to find its legs and put together a run, which we've seen before. We've seen Shai Wirtz have big plays against Campbell, for instance, late in the game. But anyway, we'll make that a wrap on Coastal Carolina. I do want to ask you about the rest of the season, but let's talk about South Alabama here in the second half of the show. South Alabama is 3-2 in overall and 2-0 in the conference. By the way, Georgia Southern 3-2 overall, 1-2 in the conference. So South Alama's got a lot of looking forward to try to stay unbeaten in the conference. McLean, what's your first thought about this South Alabama team when you see what kind of season they're having right now?
I mean, all the momentum's on their side. You know, we talked about it with Dylan Springer and, you know, Chad Lunsford on Monday, talking about how they are coming, you know, South Alabama's coming in, having won their past two games, both conference games, and Southern having a, you know, a heartbreaking loss where they could have won on the road against a ranked team. So, you know, a lot of momentum is going to be on South Alabama. I think South Alabama is also kind of a little mad. You know, last year's game went to double overtime, and it was a game that on paper, like if you just look at the box score, you know, Georgia Southern dominated that game, but it took two overtimes to get there, you know, with, you know, Tyler Bass making some field goals and, you know, PATs and Raymond Johnson having to block the field goal from South Alabama at home. So, and then a few years before that, a winless Georgia Southern team goes out and wins 52-0 on senior day against South Alabama and keeps them from a bowl game. So, though Georgia Southern is coming in 6-0 all time against the Jaguars, I think there's if there's ever going to be a year that South Alabama can you know, hang and get that first win, it's this year. You know, same thing last year, opposite side. It was Georgia Southern who has had its way with Coastal the past, you know, six or seven times they've played, and Coastal got the best of them on this weekend. You know, I would not be surprised if South Alabama came out there with that same expectation Thursday night in Paulson.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when people look at they're looking for some sort of history or track record, it's overwhelmingly in Georgia Southern's favor, 6-0 all time. The first five were all blowouts, and as you mentioned, when they played last year, October 3rd of last year, at South Alabama in Mobile, Georgia Southern won 20-17 in two overtimes, but it was 17-17 through regulation, and that was thanks to a Wesley Kennedy touchdown. With just 20 seconds left, a one-yard score, and then Tyler Bass made the extra point to force overtime. And South Alabama had a field goal, or Bass missed a field goal in the first overtime, and South Alabama could have won it. And Raymond Johnson III, who's now a senior, he blocked the field goal, so they forced the second overtime. And in the second overtime, Bass made his field goal, and Randy Wade Jr., who's with the team still, forced a fumble on a sack, and Raymond Johnson was in the right place at the right time and recovered it. So South Alabama was 0 for 10, by the way, on third down conversions that game. Don't expect that kind of same night for this team. This team has a lot more. It has a lot of the same weapons in terms of the wide receivers. Quan Baker is Georgia Southern fans might remember. He had a big touchdown catch against them last year, and he did the same. They had a very odd kind of statistical game against Louisiana Monroe last week. South Alabama won 38-14 against a team that's now 0-6. So you'd say, okay, they dominated, but their starting quarterback, Desmond Trotter, completed only 8 passes. He didn't throw too many. He only threw 12, I think. But you know, he completed 8 passes, 6 to Quan Baker, who's the co-offensive player of the week this week in the Sun Belt Conference. He's a big play guy. They have some big play guys, what Chad Lunsford called quick twitch guys, the speedy guys who can do can make plays. They use two quarterbacks this year. Desmond Trotter, who came on as a freshman at the end of last season, started some games I guess they were starting to rebuild for 2020, and been the starter. But Chance Levertich has played in actually more games, 5 games. They've thrown the ball about the same amount of times. Chance Levertich was a big star in the junior college level. He transferred into South Alabama, competing for a starting job. It looks like Desmond Trotter's been the starter, but they use them both. So you have a two quarterback system, or a team that is willing to use two quarterbacks. I think you asked some players and coaches about preparing for that. McLean, I think Dylan Springer said, just take it one day at a time. But when you only got four days, I guess, between Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to get ready for a Thursday game, it's a challenge for both teams. And South Alabama's got to travel as part of that those 4 days. So what do you see as the kind of South Alabama team that Georgia Southern will face? So you think they're going to be very sharp, or is the short week going to catch up to them?
I mean, it's a short week for both teams. You know, South Alabama, you know, played on Saturday night. You know, they got a win, and so both of them are only having, you know, 4 days to prepare. But I mean, I think that plays into South Alabama's favor of, you know, like I said earlier, you know, with them coming off that win, coming in with momentum and, you know, like I said, you know, that they, I don't know if a revenge game is fitting, but I mean, it's kind of like that. You know, they've also, they're averaging 400 yards of offense. Georgetown is only averaging 363 yards of offense. So, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts on both sides and a lot of experience on both sides. So, I mean, I think it's going to be an entertaining game on, you know, when Georgetown has the ball, when South Alabama has the ball. But will it come down to that, you know, who – because in the long run, you know, right now, I mean, South Alabama is still in contention for a Sun Belt championship. Right now, they're, you know, tied with Coastal and tied with Appalachian State for that, you know, winning the Sun Belt East. So they still have that to play for. And where Georgia Southern really is just playing for pride at this point and hoping for, you know, to get pick up enough wins to get that bowl game in December. So. And also pride, you know, playing at Paulson, they always talk about, you know, the power of Paulson is going to be a night game. They're going to have, you know, the new LEDs in the stadium, that they'll be showcasing frequently, I'm sure, that, you know, it's first home game in a few weeks, first conference home game, since 2019. So, I mean, there's both teams are playing for a lot of stuff. It just is going to come down to who is playing for more, or who wants it more, which I know is a cliche, but I mean, I really think that's how it comes down to on Thursday night.
Well, a couple things. One is South Alabama has been at home for their last four games. So if there is a big home field advantage for Georgia Southern, that maybe could kind of maybe having a little extra impact because this team hasn't been in a hostile environment in over a month. The other thing, one of the other things is South Alabama, their opponents, they are 3-2 and they've played virtually statistically. It's been a virtual dead heat with all of their opponents. But if you look at who they played, and they can only schedule who they schedule, but it's not an overwhelming lineup. They beat Southern Miss, which is 1-4. They lost. They beat Tulane, which is 2-4. They lost to they lost to Tulane, which is 2-4. They beat, which is 4-2, a solid, very solid team. And then they beat a couple of conference foes that are toward the bottom or at the bottom of the conference standings in Texas State, who's 1-6, and ULM, who's 0-6, including a loss to Georgia Southern. On ESPN, the big network, they haven't had a home game in Statesboro since I guess they played for a national championship back in the 80s. So there's a little bit of nostalgia there. Georgia Southern plays on Thursday nights nationally relatively regularly and has a really good record on Thursday nights. A lot of that depends on the opponent, but you know, when the opponent's been Appalachian State a couple of times and they beat a team that maybe guess was favored, but you talk about trying to pick up wins and build towards a really positive season, maybe a bowl game. So you look at Georgia Southern's schedule and they've got the South but then, and then November 7th against a Troy team, which is also kind of a dynamic team. And then they get a third home game against Texas State, and Texas State has had some bad losses, but they've also got the win in there. And then you've got Georgia Southern going to Army on November 21st, the game that's the replacement for the replacement. And then you've got Georgia State, Florida Atlantic, which is the makeup day on December 5th for the early September game that got postponed. And then you can close out the regular season with Appalachian State at home December 12th, the game that was supposed to be October 14th. So it's a pretty stiff lineup for Georgia Southern, and they've got to get the wins where they can. Maybe they feel like they're the best team in all of those matches. If they play the best, they've got a shot. Army obviously is a pretty dangerous team. Well, as we wrap this up, this episode of Georgia Southern Extra, we're taping on Tuesday. Looks like Georgia's a good amount of players. Every week they've had a smaller and smaller list of inactives on game day, so that's a positive. They look like they'll have we didn't hear about any injured players or anything like that, or people being out. So what's your prediction for Thursday night, McClain?
Place that it's going to be a close game, you know, based off of both the box scores and just the eyeball test of who they've played. You know, the one game they have overlap is Louisiana Monroe, and, you know, Georgia Southern barely scraped by, you know, with 35-30 win. And then this past week, South Alabama beat them at home 38-14. So that's the one game that they've both played and they both won, but in different ways. And so I think it's going to be a close game. And, you know, if Georgia Southern can come out like they – if they come out with the same, you know, mindset and same confidence that they had in preseason, where they were talking like they were going to win the Sun Belt, like they were going to be one of the best offenses in Georgia Southern history, they should win on Thursday, and you know we'll see what happens under the lights.
Yeah, I think if you step back and you say, well, which team is going to, and I said something along these lines before the Coastal Carolina game, which Georgia Southern team is going to show up? You've got a team playing at home on national television at night. So there might be a lot of juice there, a lot of intensity kind of built up, which would probably be a good thing. And then you've also got an opponent that they're familiar with who's playing very well, so they should be motivated, a conference opponent. You saw how they came out against Louisiana for a full game. And Chad Lunsford's always talking about them being able to start fast, finish fast, and just finish. And that's a thing all coaches talk about. And I think if they can finish strong in this game, that could be the difference. If they play more like they played against UMass and Louisiana, and a little less than like they played against ULM, and keep, you know, keeping the other team in the game with you know, giving up big plays and giving up turnovers and not really dominating time of possession, maybe I'd have to look at those stats. But that game was awful close and a little too exciting probably for them at the end. So we'll see. I think if you looked at it at the start of the season, you asked, well, who's supposed to win that game? You'd say, well, Georgia Southern at home on national TV on a short week should win. They're expected to be better than South Alabama this year. And we'll see if that's the team that shows up on Thursday night. McLean, thanks for being my co-host today. Everybody, thanks for listening to Georgia Southern Extra. We'll be back next week to talk about the South Alabama game and preview the Troy game. Have a good night, everybody.
Is taking care of things right now.
The Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.